Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our Life with Jesus series. This weekend, we go on a virtual tour of the town of Capernaum, exploring the miraculous healing works of Jesus in the lives of many people. You can find us every Sunday morning at the Village on Casino Road at 10:30 a.m. or visit us at our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading, and enjoy today's podcast.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy.
Things that we graduate from in life and things we move on from to get to a new season, to do a new thing. Trusting Jesus. I'm learning more and more is not something that we ever graduate from. It doesn't matter if we're 3.5 years old or if we're 83.5 years old. There's always a new day with new grace, and the grace is what is given to us so that we can put our trust in Him again and again and again. And we do not graduate from trusting Jesus. Thank God that He holds us like He holds us. At least we think that we can do it in our own strength. Oh Lord, we can do nothing without You. We can't even breathe without the air that you put in our lungs. At the most foundational level, we thank you for the breath that you've given us, Lord. Your word says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. If you can fog a glass, you can praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we come before you today. Lord, with the complexities of life and the burden and the weight of our worry and our anxiety, Lord, we cast it before you because you care for us, Jesus. Everything that seeks to take our eyes off of you, our circumstances, our pain, our uncertainty, our broken relationships, our doubts, our fears, Lord, everything that seeks to take our eyes off of you, we cast down before you. And we fix our eyes again on you and say, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. God, we do trust you. There's evidence in our lives leading up into this point that we have trusted you. And Lord, yet again, there's more opportunities to trust you and continue to grow as we work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. God, we bring our lives, our whole lives before you today, collectively as your body. And say, God, we want to trust you this week so you can show up magnificently in faith like you always do, Jesus. We trust you beyond our own understanding, Jesus. We trust you. Beyond our own experience, Jesus, we trust you. Beyond our own resources, Jesus, we trust you. Beyond our own strength, Jesus, we trust you. Church, just tell the Lord, beyond whatever it is, that you trust him more. Whatever it is right now that seeks your allegiance and your trust that is less than he, tell your Savior you trust him more. Let it be a confession. Let it be a declaration. Let it be more than tradition. Seek Jesus in this moment and ask him, Lord, where do I need to trust you more? What burden am I carrying that does not rightly belong to me? Where am I seeking to be the Lord of my own life where I can resubmit through the process of humility to your loving kindness? Oh, Jesus. As a gift, Lord, as an offering of faith, we lay it before you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for meeting us in this place today, Jesus. May the peace that rests upon us be the marker of our week to come. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. This year we're walking through a year-long series called Life with Jesus, looking at his life through the lens of the Gospels, primarily the Gospel of Matthew. So we're going to jump right in this morning, spending some time talking about the healing work of Jesus, specifically in the town of Capernaum, which is where he spent a lot of time. We're going to go on a couple video tours of Capernaum today. I just want you to see the space because it actually exists. Jesus is more than a fairy tale. The places where the miracles unfolded and his life unfolded, they didn't have drones that could take shots like that. But that is the town of Capernaum. Jesus walked in that place along the Sea of Galilee. And we see some of the new construction and things that have been done to honor and remember the life of Jesus. And then we see some of the old construction. We see a foundation of a synagogue dating back to the first century and a synagogue that was built on top of it in the fourth century. And we see places where Jesus walked and where Jesus healed him. We see all of these incredible things and it actually happened. I want to take us there today as we experience it. Thus far in the series, Jesus' birth was foretold. Jesus was born. Jesus was dedicated. He was exiled. As a teenager, he taught in the temple. Jesus was baptized. Jesus was tempted. Jesus had conversations with Nicodemus about a new birth and a woman at the well pertaining to living water. There's so much about Jesus' life that we can learn. And last week, we learned that Jesus moved from Nazareth to the town of Capernaum, a prominent fishing village by the Sea of Galilee, a town he would establish as his home base. For 3 years of ministry and public ministry in this life. Last week, we turned to Matthew chapter 4, if you remember, as Jesus called some fishermen to follow him, to take on a new vocational assignment, a new calling, not just to fish for fish, which, by the way, that was a lucrative business they were involved in. It wasn't a fledgling business that they could easily walk away from because Jesus had a new opportunity for them. The fishing business was good. It wasn't good on one particular day that we talked about last week. But these fishermen put down their nets and followed Jesus in a new vocational assignment to fish for people. We left off in Matthew 4:22, and we're going to pick up in the next verse this morning as Matthew's gospel reads, beginning in Matthew 4:23. This sets the context for what we're going to experience this morning. Matthew 4:23-25 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria. They didn't even have TikTok. News got around.
Woo! Hallelujah.
They didn't have the Wi-Fi, and the news got around.
Thank you, Jesus.
News spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. That's a big region. We see here the region, the Sea of Galilee, where Capernaum was. This whole area in the orange is called the Decapolis, the 10 big cities of the region. We see all the way down into Judea and where Jerusalem is on the other side of the Jordan. Here to here is about 60 miles. But this way and that way, without TikTok or Wi-Fi, word spread about Jesus and his healing power. And people came to him. Again, it says large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, in the region across the Jordan, followed him. People followed him. And this morning, we're going to drill down on three of these healings from the town of Capernaum. We're going to look at stories from John 4. We're going to look at a story from Matthew 9 that is also told again in Mark's gospel in chapter 5. The healing of the official's son, the woman with blood, and Jairus' daughter. We're going to hear a teaching from our friend Dr. Randy Smith, standing at the site where the woman was healed from her bleeding. We're a four-square church. That means there's four foundational elements, things we preach and teach about Jesus. If you don't know, the four-square church, which is now 100 years old, preaches that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is our soon and coming King. Jesus is all these things. But today we want to focus and think about Jesus as our healer. And I want to ask you this question. How well do we know Jesus as our healer? Think about that for your own life right now. How well do you know Jesus as your healer? Physical healer, spiritual healer, emotional healer, relational healer. And what I want you to do, either on your phones or in your journal or just in your mind, I want you to just take a minute. We're going to sit quietly and reflect. As we think about or write down a few thoughts, beliefs, questions, or prayers that you have concerning Jesus' identity as your healer. Do some work with Jesus on this. What are your thoughts, questions, beliefs, prayers that you have about healing? No holds bar. If some of it's ugly, if some of it deals with frustration, if some of it deals with doubt or disbelief or discouragement, tell the Lord. If there's reason to be grateful to Jesus as your healer, tell him. 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah said about the promised Messiah to a people in exile in Isaiah 53:4-5, speaking of a Savior that would come 700 years in the future, surely, surely, confidently, he took up our pain. He bore our suffering. Yet we considered him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Scripture says it. Do we believe it? It's okay if there's a gap in the wrestling between what I read and what I believe. Because it's in the wrestling, like Jacob wrestled, that we are maybe even again brought infirmity as Jacob was, who then walked with a limp, but had intimacy with God. Moving from what we read to what we believe involves a wrestling with God, which may leave us with a limp, but we are more intimately connected with him. Pain is part of the process when it comes to growing as a disciple of Jesus. What I would prefer in my own idolatrous heart is smooth sailing. All the questions answered. No physical, emotional, relational, or spiritual pain. Because if I am free from those things, I'm free to run off in my own strength. But he keeps us. And he knows what burdens our heart, which is the sin of self-reliance. And he says, let me just take that from you. And you're going to walk in pain a little bit, but let me take it for you. And by the way, I'll take that pain from you. I'll take the eternal pain from you. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. As we consider a few thoughts, a few questions, a few beliefs, as we consider our own beliefs about prayer, about healing and asking for healing through prayer, as we consider these things about healing, I want to take us to Galilee for a few minutes today to see with our own eyes where Jesus lived. In the biblical text, I have come to find comes to new life when we connect it to the landscape, when we connect the story to the landscape. It comes to life for us in a way that's tangible. Last summer, many of you know that Katrina and I took Savannah and Caleb back to Boston and to Philadelphia so the kids could forge a deeper connection with their own family history. And we wanted to take them to significant places where their grandparents and their great-grandparents grew up and lived their lives. And so for a time there, we hung out with Grandpa Sam, and not with him, but in the house that he grew up in with his sister. We spent some time where he grew up. We visited the church where their great-grandparents pastored in East Freetown, Massachusetts. And then we even took some time and went to Philadelphia in Cottman Avenue and Jackson Street in North Philly, where my dad played in the streets 70 years ago. This is a picture I took from Jackson and Cottman, where my dad grew up 70 plus years ago. And I was talking with him in that moment, reflecting back, and he was saying, this is where I hid my little plastic army men, just kind of down in the grass. And I'm like, this is so cool. And it got him thinking. And then a few days later, he sent me that picture of himself when he was probably 4 or 5 years old on that same path. And it connected me with his story in a way that really mattered. Places matter. Think about places. They matter in our lives. Places are placeholders. Places hold the history and the heritage of our story. It holds it all together. And when we foster visits to those places, well, healing can come in surprising and unexpected ways. Jesus wants to heal us. And he left places on the earth to remind us of healing. I would love to go with each of you to the places in the world, on the map, where healing has happened, where significant high points and hard times have happened, because the Lord redeems things in those places. I'd love to go with you to those places and see those stories and hear more about what the Lord has done through your life, or maybe the work that he still wants to do in your life. But because of Jesus, here's the thing, the Holy Land can become a place like that for all of us. Because of Jesus, we are grafted into his family. We are co-heirs with him. And we can claim a history found in Scripture as our own. This story, the life of Jesus, we can claim The healings that we see, we can claim as part of our story, part of the rich history that he has invited us into. And so what we're going to do first is watch a video produced by an Israeli couple named Sergio and Rada. If you like binge watching YouTube, you can binge watch their channel and go all over the Middle East and all the cool places in Israel. And because of drones, like, the footage is getting better, and it's inviting us into places to see and experience. So if you read something in Scripture and you want to see what it looked like and what it felt like, Sergio and Rada have a great channel. Then we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to read from John. We're going to read from Matthew and from Mark's account about this place. And then we're going to watch a second video put together by Dr. Randy from this very site. So spend a few minutes. We're going to check this out.
You can find the link to Sergio and Rada's virtual tour of the town of Capernaum in the show notes. Please check it out now.
So there's a little glimpse into this town. With that in mind, I want us to take us to the scriptures beginning in John 4. I'm going to read the scriptures and then we're going to turn to another video, the recording of our time that we spent with Dr. Randy in the town of Capernaum a year ago. With this place in mind now, put yourself in the story, John chapter 4, beginning in verse 43. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. After 2 days of what? He left after spending time with a woman at the well. In Samaria, it says, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he'd done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you see signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Come down from Cana. Come to Capernaum before my child dies. Verse 50, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that was the exact time when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. One healing from Capernaum. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Beginning in verse 18, it says, while he was saying these things, while he was talking about fasting essentially, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did the disciples. Again, this is in the town of Capernaum. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Daughter, take heart, daughter. He said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away, this girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News spread all throughout that region. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 5 to hear this story in even greater detail. Each gospel writer told the story from their own perspective, beginning in Mark 5, verse 21. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hand on her so that she will be healed and come alive. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed around and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.
Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body as if she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Verse 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone know, did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all the commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." But then they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Thinking through the miracles and the work and the interactions of Jesus, putting yourself in the shoes of those who were sick, in the shoes of those who were curious, in the place of those who could not move forward without the power and the presence of Jesus. How does that impact the questions, the thoughts, and the beliefs that you have about the healing power and the presence of God in our lives today? It was just a day. We can romanticize the stories in the gospel as if they were being lived out and people understood in the moment that I'm playing a role in the story of the gospel. They didn't know that. It was just another day. It was just another day in faith following after God. Trying to wrap their hearts and their minds around, is this Messiah, the healer, the actual presence of God in the flesh? They walked in faith. They wrestled in faith. They suffered in faith. And it can become so much more real to us when we put ourselves in the story and realize that the days we're living in don't feel like monumental days. They just feel like normal days. But monumental things can happen in normal days when we apply our faith in Jesus and his ability to bring healing to our lives. I want us to listen to this teaching from Dr. Randy and just be amazed by the work and the power and the faithfulness of God in our lives.
You can find the link to Pastor Randy Smith's teachings in the show notes. Please pause to view that now.
A little bit more about how practical the stories of the gospel really are. Just common moments where people who have access to the same resurrection power of Jesus are touched and they're healed. In the everyday moments. All week long, I've been thinking about the healing power of Jesus. All week long, I've been thinking about the opposition that comes when we consider the healing power of Jesus, because the healing work of Jesus in our lives does not come without opposition. Think about your own life. Think about your own story. Think about your own beliefs and your thoughts and your questions about healing. There is spiritual opposition because we are spirit and we are flesh. The flesh is temporary. It's the body we're walking around in, which is wrought with fear and anxiety. But it's really an attack on our spirit because that's what connects us to God for all eternity. It's a battle that we're in every day. We talked about the fruit of the spirit. We talked about the temptations of the flesh and the war that exists between the two that we walk in every day because this is a spiritual battle. There is fear, there is anxiety, there's doubt. There's discouragement, there's impatience. If we honestly come to Jesus, we can think about places where right now we're experiencing fear and anxiety, where we are experiencing doubt. There are places where we are discouraged, there's places where we are impatient, but that's not the whole story, because we can be experiencing fear, but we can also be experiencing courage and peace and faith and encouragement and patience when we stop and lean into the things of the Spirit. Every day that's available to us to lean back upon and rely more deeply upon the person of Jesus by the power of His Spirit. That's a choice we get to make daily in regards to healing. And some days go better than others. And the grace of God makes up the difference. When we think about healing, fear, anxiety, doubt, discouragement, impatience, we can also think about courage and peace and faith and encouragement and a patience to wait and endure. That's the spiritual opposition that comes to healing. There's also circumstantial opposition that comes from healing as we wait for healing. One being physical pain. Does anyone love physical pain? We don't love physical pain. We wait and we wait, and there's physical pain in the waiting. There's time invested in addressing the pain that we face in our bodies. That's opposition. Who wants to spend a whole afternoon in a doctor's office when you could be doing other things? I'm in conversation with one person in particular right now who is just kind of figuring out everything that pain has taken from them. And they're grieving what's been lost. But as I watch them grieve what they've lost, I'm also watching them realize that the Lord has something in exchange for that pain. And it's patience, and it's endurance, and it's compassion, and it's empathy for others. And sometimes the Lord uses pain to just help us get our eyes off ourselves. It's this fantastic but peculiar grace that He gives us. Mr. Delayed Opportunity, and as Jesus experienced social and political opposition towards healing. There's one last picture that I want to put up. It's a map. In Capernaum, which is right up here, this whole area, what it says here on Randy's map, this is Randy's handwritten notes, is everything that's in his head. It says our side, and over here it says their side. And by our side, he means this is where the Jewish people took up residence. And this is where the Gentiles were. And when the pigs were driven out of into the lake and the spirit was driven into the pigs for the man, that was going on down here in the Gentile side of things. And if you read the Gospels, you know how sometimes Jesus says, you're healed, don't go tell anybody, just go home. You know how he says? And other times he says, go tell anybody. He was telling anybody when he was down on this side of the lake. Because it was the Gentile region. No one was giving a rip about what Jesus was doing, but it was the political leaders and the spiritual leaders up here that were out to get Jesus. So when he healed people, and the mayor of the town owed him, and the centurion owed him, and the religious leader owed him. There was a covering because he was healing people. But even in the midst of political and social opposition, he kept healing people. He kept stepping out in faith and doing what culture said don't do. Culture says today, now don't have faith. Just go to a doctor. Just get more insurance. There's nothing wrong with doctors and insurance. But there is also a place to trust in Jesus with the things that he's doing in our lives. And let him do a healing work in us. Things to remember as we close and as we pray for healing. I lament at times knowing that there are those in our fellowship who ache for a physical healing that hasn't come yet. In that moment, I rejoice knowing that eternal healing is already ours. In Christ, our healing has been completely and totally 100% achieved because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians, Paul, who suffered much in the flesh, says this in chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure, this grace of God. We have it in jars of clay. Just these unimpressive containers to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Who can identify? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive will always be given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life might also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. See, there's a theology. There's a place for healing. There's a place for suffering. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who has raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Put our suffering, put our pain, put our the things that we're waiting for healing for in that context, and know that God will use the things that we suffer in for his glory, not just in eternity, but right now also. And sometimes he just physically heals us. Both are true. And we wait in him. Eternal healing is ours already. Repentance is also a foundational component for healing. If you are seeking healing and not finding it, sometimes the Lord says, repent. And I'm going to heal your land when you repent of your sins. Confess, bring that to me, and be spiritually healed, not just physically healed. Repentance is a foundational component of healing. And we can contend for healing, give thanks to God in the waiting, and trust him with his timing. Like the centurion had to trust with the timing. Like the woman who bled for 12 years had to trust with timing. Like the official whose son was healed exactly when Jesus said he was in a long distance healing. That was pretty good timing. God wants to be our healer. He doesn't want to just do it in a gospel that was written 2,000 years ago, and he did, but don't forget that was a real place with real time that ticked by, just like the place where we live. When we live by faith, many stories, more stories, will be told of God's healing work in our lives, and we give glory to God for it. So as we spend a few minutes in our discussion groups, in light of our time in the gospels today, how have your thoughts, beliefs, questions and prayers about healing been impacted? What did God's word today do in you to impact your thoughts, your beliefs, your questions, and your prayers about healing? Jesus, as we take just a few minutes to get together and pray for each other, and maybe even boldly pray for healing for one another, Lord, may your word prove true. May it prove true that you will heal in the moment physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And may it prove true that in our suffering still you receive glory. Because as we carry around the death of Jesus, your life, Jesus, is displayed through our suffering because we do not give in to it. We aren't discouraged or crushed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.